owe them, but very few of us know them. They took an oath to protect us at home and abroad, so the rest of us can live safe and free. They are the men and women of our military and first responder communities, and these are their stories. American Warrior Radio is on the air.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to American Warrior Radio. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. Loyalty to country, team, and teammate. Serve with honor and integrity on and off the battlefield. Ready to lead, ready to follow, never quit. Take responsibility for your actions and the actions of your teammates. Excel as warriors through discipline and innovation. Train for war, fight to win, defeat our nation's enemies. Earn your trident every day. What I just read to you is from the U.S. Navy SEAL Code. Now, of course, the components of that code apply to warriors in the context of training for and executing combat. But what if you were to take elements of that code, some of the bedrock philosophies, and apply them to business? Many times on this program, we've discussed the challenges of the transition from military to civilian life. This can be particularly vexing for those highly trained in a specific skill particular to combat. There's not a lot of demand in the civilian world for snipers or demolition experts. But let's look at that creed again. Would you want to hire or work with someone who is ready to lead, ready to follow, and never quits? How about someone who excels through discipline and innovation? Today on our Veteran Entrepreneur segment, we're going to be talking to a gentleman who is doing just that. Our guest today earned his trident and had two deployments with SEAL Team 7 and one tour as a budge instructor. He continues to serve as a reservist. He founded his own business, the Decline James Watch Company, in 2018. Welcome to American Warrior Radio, Mr. Brian Daugherty.
Well, thank you very much. I got to be honest with you, I still get goosebumps when I hear the SEAL creed and ethos be read. So,
well,
it still gets me.
Yeah, Brian, we talked about this in the pre-interviews. Every time I do one of these shows, I, as a civilian who never served, learn something from them. And I tell you, just looking at that creed, I take inspiration and a good firm kick in the butt from some of those words. But let me just start off, you know, I was busting your chops a little bit, Brian, about not being Johnny on the spot and getting right back to me. But, you know, I noticed that your email replies and your communications usually came late at night or first thing in the morning. After all, you're building a company, you've got a day job, you're raising two boys, and you're still serving our country. So understandable that a guy broadcasting a third-rate show out of his parents' garage is not top of your list, huh?
No, it is. It totally is, and it's an honor to be on the show. Thank you very much.
No worries. One thing I learned from interacting with folks in your community is if they're not giving you a hard time, they don't really like you. So I hope you'll take that in the spirit which is intended. Now, in another interview I heard you do, Brian, you said you don't really like water and you only get into the ocean when you're ordered to do so. Kind of makes a guy wonder why the Navy SEALs.
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think that maybe I would have been just as happy in the Army. I don't know. But we do so much work in the water, and when you go through buds in particular, the water is used as torture. So if you mess up, you're going to go get wet and sandy, and you're wet and sandy all day long. You're in the cold ocean 24 hours a day. At any time, you could be ordered to run to the ocean. I mean, there's been numerous times where I have been wet for a week straight for 24 hours, 7 days a week, and it gets miserable after a while, and you just kind of learn to hate the water. And then once you get into the teens, you kind of have a little bit of that resentment towards the water with you. And, you know, you do a four-hour dive at night. It's cold. You're miserable. You just kind of grow, or at least I just kind of grew to not really like the water so much. It's not that I didn't enjoy the water before I joined the military. I very much did, but just over time it kind of wore on me and broke me down and made me sick of it.
So really the SEALs are what ingrained that in you was a lack of appreciation for the water.
That's right. And I did all my time on the West Coast in the Pacific Ocean, and the water is not terribly cold, but it's not also really warm either. So I've never really experienced the pleasure or enlightenment, enjoyment of warm water, if you will.
Fair enough. Now, but still, that doesn't really answer my question, because as I understand it, you got in later than most.
That's right.
And what was it about the SEALs in particular, or the military, that just Brian said, you know, I've got to do this now or I'm going to hate myself forever? Or I've got to try it?
Yeah, so It's a long story, but I'll give you the short version of it. When I was in college, I was having a tough time adjusting to being on my own and being in college. And I remember talking to my mother, and she had suggested, well, you need to start exercising and help exhausting your mind so you can fall asleep during the night. Because at night, I would be up all night long and then sleep all day during class. And it was just, obviously, as you can imagine, in college, not a really great recipe for success. Or at least it wasn't for me. And so I started exercising and feeling better. And through these exercises, I started coming across Navy SEAL exercise and get fit like a Navy SEAL. And that was the first time I really had learned about Navy SEALs. And so through that, I started to explore and read more and try more workouts. And then it just got stuck in my head that being a Navy SEAL, that was it. I think, again, I said I could have been just as happy in the Army, perhaps, if I came across Army workouts for Special Forces. Maybe I could have gone that route. I'm not quite sure, but that's just kind of how it happened. And so I obsessed about it forever. And then finally, at age 28, I had graduated college, got a job working commercial real estate, and the economy had tanked in 2007, 2008, and I was lucky enough to retain my job. But I was really, at that time in life, I was really failing to launch in life and to make something of myself and make a career. I just wasn't motivated to do anything, to be honest with you. And I always had the Navy SEALs in the back of my mind. And I had a good mentor who I worked with. And he called me in his office one day and he's like, listen, man, I can only keep you on for so long. It's clear that you don't want to be here. This is your last chance to go join the SEALs. So you better go do it before you make it, before you regret it in life.
Now, there's a motivational talk.
It was motivational. I mean, it was motivational for sure, absolutely. But he was right because I was 28. The cutoff was age 29. I actually just barely slipped in. I turned 29 in boot camp. And so I joined at 29, 28, 29. And really, that was it. And it all started from my inability to adjust and sleep well and thrive not only in college, but also in commercial real estate.
Now, were you the old man in your class then?
At the time I was, yes.
I mean, yes. It doesn't sound very common.
No, there were a few of us at age, there was a few of us, just a handful, but the average age, at least when I was an instructor, I don't really know about when I went through, but the average age is roughly 25, 26 years old.
Okay. And did you make it through your first BUDS class?
I made it through my first BUDS class, yes. And then from BUDS, you go on to SQT. And I got rolled in SQT, so I got rolled in assaults. And then I basically waited for the next class to pick up, went through assaults and passed assaults, and then went on to SEAL Team 7.
So what was your specialty?
My specialty was intel. And I really liked it. I really, really enjoyed it. I thought that it offered a lot of, like, other opportunities in the military. My thought wasn't, you know, if you ask my platoon mates who were snipers or breachers, and which, you know, also for intel, you know, anyone can do that job. But for me, I when we were in the platoon rolling around in Afghanistan, I still had C4 in my backpack ready to blow something up. So I was like, well, that's good enough for me to be a breacher. and then I had my gun. I was like, yeah, I mean, I might not be reaching out 1,000 yards, but I got my gun, so that kind of like satisfies my like sniper shooting desire. And then intel, it's just interesting. Intel is just interesting, and I think a lot of the things I learned through the schools that I went to are super applicable to my civilian life, to be honest with you.
Well, I want to talk more about that because I definitely get that from just prepping for this show, Brian. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're a regular listener, you know that Ben has a punch list for retired or transition special forces folks. They've got to write a book. They've got to start a coffee company and get their own T-shirt. Brian took a little different route. He is now a watchmaker. Visit Declan James Watch Company, Declan James Watch Co.com. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're talking with Brian Doherty, who is the founder, CEO, president, chief bottle washer, researcher, everything except a breacher for Declan James Watch Company. Now, Brian, first off, what was wrong with naming it the Brian D. Watch Company? Now, well, listen, hear me out now. I got the jingle. Brian D. made just for me. Tick, tick, talks to a T. Okay, my producer's rolling his eyes. I'll stick to my day job.
No, I love it. I love it. Had we had met each other maybe, you know, 3 years ago, you could have convinced me. You could have convinced me. I named it after my first son, and it's actually pronounced Declan James.
Oops. Okay.
And I did that because when I was going through the process of trying to find a name for this company, I did a lot of research, and you know, a lot of these names, these big watch names, are named after the founders, and they're French, they're Swiss, they're German, they're English, and it's a very beautiful name, and it kind of just rolls off the tongue. And so I started this company because I want to impart some of the wisdom that I learned in the SEAL teams through entrepreneurship to my son. And I thought, you know, why not just name it after my son, Declan James Watch Co.? And I'll tell you what, it sounds a lot better than Brian Doherty Watch Co.
I'll give you that.
It rolls off the tongue a little bit better.
So hearing other interviews, Brian, people bust your chops about, you know, when you're going to write a book or script a movie or start a coffee company. But why watches?
Well, I have always loved watches ever since I was a little kid. And I had a good friend who I'm still friends with to this day give me a watch when I was like in first or second grade. And that was really the catalyst for this lifelong obsession that I had, that I created for watches. And so much, I even sold watches in high school at Dillard's, women's watches in Dillard's in high school. And I just always loved watches, right? It was a part of my life all growing up, and if you didn't know what to get me, you could just default with a watch, and I would be super, super happy. And fast forward to me getting out of the service, I was getting out of the service from active duty and transitioning to the reserves, and I started tinkering around with the idea of making a watch, maybe just for fun, as like a hobbyist. And I have an individual, I know someone who is also a watchmaker, and I started talking to them and asking questions because I was really kind of struggling with certain design aspects of the watch. And he had basically said, you know, listen, if you do this because it's a hobby, and I know that you're obsessed with watches, much like I am, like I made a business selling watches. Like you could also do it. And so I thought about it. I was like, yeah, why not? I mean, the advice out there is always follow your passion, and then everything else will follow, whatever it is that you want to follow. But follow your passion, and chances are you'll be happy in life. And so I thought about it, and I was like, why not? Just why not? I love watches. I'm doing it for a reason. There's good purpose behind it, and it's fun. Let's give it a shot.
And, you know, what really resonated with me, Brian, is that I also – I mean, I wouldn't say I was a collector, but, you know, there's a point in my life when I had probably six or seven watches, and I considered it part of, you know, every day when I put on a suit. I mean, the watch was just as important as the tie. And one thing I love about your company, I guess, and your philosophy that I'm seeing is the idea of heritage and tradition and the fact that, you know, you get a good watch, I don't want to say it's going to last forever, but certainly for generations. And in preparing for the show, Brent, I hearken back. There's a scene in the movie Pulp Fiction, the Christopher Walken gold watch monologue. It's a family show. I won't go into the details, but if you know.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah,
I want to post that on social media, but obviously it would be very inappropriate for my brand. But, yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
So, talk about that. There's that visceral, emotional, intergenerational connection to watches, and that really sounds like that's the principle that you founded your company on, with the idea, I mean, literally you're doing this for your son. I mean, this will be like a lifelong take your kid to work day.
Yeah, exactly. Everything kind of started working out for me. The idea of watch in the watch industry and having your own watch business is very rooted in legacy and tradition, and it's a trade craft that's passed down from generation to generation. I started my company because I wanted to give my son, I have two sons actually. My other one, his name is Nolan, but he wasn't born when I started this company. So I feel like I gotta, he's going to listen to someday and he's going to be like, Dad, what the heck? He didn't even mention me. anyways, I wanted to give what I felt were the keys to success in life to my son through entrepreneurship and the watch company. And so it's just all like, it all comes together. And people who have watches and women with jewelry and watches from their father in general, also they become a symbol and legacy of their father when they pass on, and they will write emotionally about it and about what the watch reminded them of their father and how they remember their father always put on a watch when he got dressed in the morning with a suit. Doesn't really remember the suit, but remembers that watch because that watch just becomes, it just becomes a fixture, a very quiet fixture, right? You don't really think about it until after, but a very quiet fixture in your father or mother's life, whatever it may be. And so it just all made sense for me. It just all came together. And that's what I like about that. When you have kids, you start to think about the legacy you leave behind and the things you do and don't do for them to help them get by in the world.
Now, Brian, I don't do math in public, but we're now going on 3 years down the path of this company for you, which is still in that, small business administration danger zone, 3 to 5 years for most small businesses. I'm a part of being being a Special Forces Navy SEALs is knowing your enemy and knowing and trying to find the chinks in that armor. What was the niche that you feel you've identified?
That's a really good question. I think it's the legacy of a father and child and to promote that legacy. A lot of the brands out there, the majority of the brands out there are either sports oriented, action oriented, sailing, adventurous type watch brands. And I love those brands and I have those watches, but there's nothing out there that really speaks to the legacy and the tradition of a father and their child and the symbol that a watch becomes upon their passing or just receiving it in general from their father.
So the other day I was at a change of command and there was a retired Army colonel and I knew the show was coming up. So right away I told him, raise your sleeve. And he had this just monster watch on there. It was a Breitling. And so I'm telling him about Declan and, trying to sell him. He's like, well, my wife got me this one. But I guess the reason I asked that question, Brian, is, I don't know what a Breitling runs. What, probably they started about $6,500, $7,000 for a watch, which I tell you, no matter how successful I am, I couldn't feel comfortable paying that for a thing that just tells time. But your price points begin at $650-ish. So are you really, it's a high quality watch. So you're looking to get to that niche of people that want that high style, long lasting timepiece, but are like me, are not going to pay for a Breitling or a Rolex.
Yeah, I feel that my prices for my watches are attractively priced. In my watches, you get Swiss movement. We import the movement from Switzerland, and they're good Swiss movement. And I know other brands that use the same Swiss movement that I use that sell their watches in the thousands and thousands of dollars. And we also offer a lifetime warranty because I stand behind my watch 100%. And if this is something you actually do give to your child, I want your child to call my son up someday and say, hey, my dad gave me this watch. It's not quite working. Do you think he can work on it a little bit? But, yeah, it's an attractive price point. It's priced because it's for the father. It's for the people. It's who wants to dress nice but is conscious and doesn't really want to spend upwards of $1,000.
Yeah,
so I'm trying to package it in a way that it is still a really good watch. It's moving from Switzerland. It's still got these. We still back it. It's guaranteed. We're just a smaller watch company. That's all it is.
We one of our prior veteran entrepreneurs feature was with the founder of Ride on Optics, and he makes just a very high quality optic for rifles. It's very reasonably priced. Same thing, lifetime guarantee. You don't like it, you break it, whatever, send it back, we'll replace it. But that's the niche that he found because he knows, with his connections with law enforcement, military, there's a lot of folks that you know, want a good optic but aren't willing to pay the price out there. And they're very, very successful, and I'm very, very proud of them. Well, when we come back, I'd like to delve a little bit more into watches, Brian, and then really get into that philosophy and some of those driving forces behind your company. So I think that's really, it's fascinating to me, and I know it will be for our listeners as well. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes being a sniper or a demolition expert doesn't always translate well into the civilian workforce. The transition from an intensive team concept to being out there on your own can prove challenging even for the stoutest warrior. The mission of the SEAL Future Foundation is to provide Navy SEALs with programs to support their well-being, education, and career to continue a life of service within their communities. Over 1,500 of our nation's elite warriors have participated in one or more of their programs, from continuing their education to receiving help covering costs of medical treatment or participating in their mentoring programs. You can help by visiting sealff.org. That's SEALFF.org. We'll be right back. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're talking with Brian Doherty. Yikes. I had a big sugar donut before the show, Brian. Forgive me. the founder of Declan James Watch Company. And you can find out more. Visit Declan, D-E-C-L-A-N, JamesWatchCo.com. Brian, a little bit more. I want to kind of geek out on watches here with a little bit, if you don't mind. I'm sure you know a thing or two. You look at the challenges in businesses and how technology and trends, you know, you got to stay ahead of them or be strong enough to fight them and really make your own way. And maybe that's part of your branding. But nowadays anymore, it seems like, particularly with younger generations, it's rare to see them even wearing a watch because they've got a clock on their phone. Or they've got these, you're too young to remember what I call the Dick Tracy watches, you know, where the watch just does everything for you. It's the communication device, et cetera, et cetera. What is your perspective on that, and how are you addressing that? Or are you just, you've got your niche and you're going to stick to it?
Well, there's no doubt that the watch industry took a big hit, you know, with the advent of the modern day cell phone and the time on it. And even this smartwatch, but I take a little bit of a different approach from it. And my approach is this. I actually do see quite a few people, younger generations, wearing watches. Now, some of it's a smartwatch, some of it's just, you know, a cheaper watch. And that makes me happy. If you're wearing a smartwatch, in my mind, I'm like, all right, you're wearing something on your wrist. That's an opportunity for me to get a Declan James on your wrist. And to be fully honest with you, I have a smartwatch myself, but I only use it to work out in. Like I have a watch for every occasion. And you've mentioned before you've had multiple watches that I'm sure you wore or felt best for a certain type of occasion versus the other. And so, if you're wearing a smartwatch, I think there's a chance. If you don't wear a watch and you're relying on your cell phone, I don't think you were going to wear a watch anyways. I don't really come across too many people who just stopped wearing a watch because of a cell phone. I come across people who maybe have stopped wearing a watch because of COVID and they haven't really been out at all to wear a watch. But my approach is different. I think there's opportunity there.
Well, and SEALs have never been short of confidence, Brian. So. It seems like your philosophy has always been, well, just, you know, jump right in. What's the worst that can happen? And I really can in many ways relate to what you're doing because American Warrior Radio is also, you know, when I go out and talk to advertisers, we are a boutique buy. I mean, there's some advertising I won't accept because it doesn't work. It doesn't fit for my listeners. And it's not for everyone, but for those categories of companies or organizations that are looking to reach out to military and first responders or family, then we're the choice. I mean, we're the fit, and that's the way I pitch it. But really, in the evolution of my business, I guess, you know, this thing, Brian, started off as really I had a passion for the message, and I didn't know a darn thing about radio when I got started. And there's been some bumps and bruises along the way. I'm still learning, but the point where it went from a weekend hobby labor of love to something more business-like, that sort of aha moment. Have you reached that point yet in your business, or are you well past that, or let's take it day to day?
That's a good question. Yeah. I mean, as you know, it's an emotional roller coaster from day to day, hour to hour, and sometimes even minute to minute. It's definitely an emotional roller coaster. And even, you know, I still have to remind myself from time to time, like, just, you know, keep doing it. You know, we're going to make mistakes. I've made tons of mistakes. And I think, I don't know about big companies, but I venture to say they still make mistakes, right? They're just easier to pivot from the mistake than, say, someone small like myself or someone who's just starting off to where they put a decent amount of money in it and the mistake is difficult to pivot from. But I don't know that I've had that aha moment yet. I'm definitely still like, let's keep going. Let's keep plugging forward. It's still a little too emotional for me, I think, to have that aha moment. And I'll say this. Ignorance is bliss to a certain degree, right? Like, if I knew everything that went in to starting a watch company and running it, like, everything up until now, I don't know. Ignorance is definitely bliss. Like, I'm glad I didn't know some things I had to learn along the way.
You know, and maybe this will help, too, because I know that sometimes you know, I tell my wife, and it's like, man, you know, I work weekends. I do a radio show. And sometimes it's like, but you know what? You know, she says, hey, you get to do radio. How cool is that? And you're producing a legacy in a box for these families, Brian.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a matter of getting them to know about it. And, you know, you are basically invisible on social media. So I'll just leave that there. Where did your capital come from? Where did your startup money come from?
It was all my own money. So when I received a decent amount of retention money or bonuses from the military as a result of me being a SEAL. And so I knew someday I was going to start a business. So I didn't know what it was, but I had the foresight to know I was going to start a business. And I just saved everything I could possibly save. And I took out some loans. I'm just about done paying off all my loans. But I scraped it together like most entrepreneurs starting off. Saved it and scraped it together.
Okay. Now, I'm also curious. I found it fascinating. You were a BUDS instructor.
Yes.
And you were the guy telling people to get in the water and get wet and get sandy.
Yes.
But what, so much as I've been told, Brian, so much of BUDS, I mean, clearly it's a physical challenge.
Sure.
No doubt about that. But so much of it is also the mental aspect of it. Do you find that mental toughness you developed in BUDS and your ensuing time with the teams is now transferred over into your life as a whole and in particularly in your business?
Absolutely. 100%. You don't realize it. Well, I had the opportunity to be a BUDS instructor, so I got to see the other side of it. But absolutely, 100%. When I went through BUDS, and I remember there's time before you actually start BUDS, but and then, you know, there's like the first day. But I remember standing to the guy to the left of me who looks like Hercules and then standing to the guy next to the right of me, and he just looks like some Olympic god. And me, I'm just tall and skinny, and maybe it's part of my insecurities at the time, but, like, I'm just tall and skinny. Like, I'm in shape, but I was not comparing. In no way was I comparable to the guy to the left or the right of me. But the point I'm trying to make is I was standing next to these guys, and those two guys or these individuals that I ended up looking up to and being like, oh, my God, if 75% of these guys are going to not make it, and I'm saying the guy who looks like he's already made it, I'm screwed, basically. But I noticed that those guys were the first ones to quit or get injured or just go away, and the people who were left standing were people like me. And so that was like a really big aha moment for me. And, you know, running a business, I kind of see it the same way, because there's competitors out there, and I'm competing for people's stuff. And I look at other companies, you know, I'm not saying I want to be as big as Rolex, but like Rolex started off just like me one time, mm-hmm. right? All these other watch companies started off just like me. And so when I look at Rolex, I'm like, oh, I can't even, like, how am I ever going to get there? I'm like, well, wait, I made it through BUDS And I, you know, Rolex is just like the guy to the right of me. Omega is just like the guy to the left of me, right?
I was just thinking of that precise example, you know.
Yeah.
Declan James is the skinny guy, and Rolex and Breitling are that big muscle bound dude, and although it's not a zero sum game either.
No,
there's plenty of room out there for folks to buy and you know, appreciate what they bought and what they're going to hand down in the next generation.
Right. Exactly.
Sorry. Any plans? Because it struck me when you talked when I had the go to work every day watch, the working on the weekend watch, the I don't mind if it gets beaten up watch or lost in Mexico watch. But then I also had my put on the tuxedo and comb your hair and shave watch, which was a box watch, which I've always loved that design. Any plans for one of those coming down the line, Brian?
Oh yeah, we're not done.
I should say.
Yeah, we're not done. I'm in the process of designing some new watches. I want to design a more of a dive style type watch, but we're not done. We're going to continue to design and release styles as long as I'm in business.
Outstanding.
Which hopefully will be long time.
Ladies and gentlemen, just an expanded quote from the Navy Code. We demand discipline. We expect innovation. The lives of my teammates and the success of our mission depend on me, my technical skill, tactical proficiency, and attention to detail. My training is never complete. You just heard Brian pretty much say the same thing for his company. Stick around. We'll be back with more. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, this is your host, Ben Buehler-Garcia. We're talking to Brian Doherty. Brian is the founder, a former Navy SEAL, actually still a Navy SEAL. He's in the reserves. And the founder of the Declan James Watch Company. You can find out more. Visit DeclanJamesWatchCo.com. I hope I got that right this time, Brian.
You did.
All is forgiven.
All is forgiven.
So one other thing, honestly, as I was preparing for this show, it's almost like I wanted to build the whole show around that Navy SEAL code because there's so much good stuff in there. If I may, another one, uncompromising integrity is my standard. My character and honor are steadfast. My word is my bond. When folks go to Declan James Watch Company's website, they're going to see your core principles, heritage, quality, and service. And I've heard you say that accessibility is important to you. And another one of those muscle-bound guy on the beach moments, Brian. I mean, I can call Declan James and get a hold of you. I'm guessing I can't get a hold of the Rolex guy or woman.
Well, you definitely can get a hold of me anytime.
Okay. Well,
absolutely.
That's open to debate, but yeah.
Yes. The point is yes.
The customers can get to you.
The customers can get to me. Someone had said something to me. I had made a comment. I was like, customer service is not like what it used to be. And this person who I was talking to, like, you're getting old. Like, that's an old person thing to say. I was like, no, it's not. It's not an old person thing to say. But, customer service is very important to me. And I know from my personal experience and in life, I like to be treated well, and I like people to pick up the phone and answer my questions. And I just get frustrated when that doesn't happen. And so we want to do that to our customers. We want to make them feel like they're part of our family. When you buy a watch from us, we'll always take care of you. We're always going to pick up the phone. We're always going to make sure the watch is working.
And, Brian, I'm an optimist, and I believe that eventually, as a student of history, what is old becomes new again. And I share your frustration as I'm trying to recruit advertisers, and, I'm on my 14th call, 26th email, and I just want to say, look, how hard is it to just type no and press reply? I mean, I'd love your business, but at some point, it's just not very flattering of your company that you don't bother. And my favorite is, I'll get, the voice message. We'll get back to you in 24 hours. No, you won't.
Yeah.
And I know I'm trying to sell you something, but don't get me started. We're out of time.
We're all hustling, right? And I appreciate the hustle as much as anyone else does. So I'll just help you out. I'm not interested or whatever it is. Like I appreciate the honesty, and I just if you're too busy to say no to me, then. That seems strange to me.
Agreed, but yeah. Let's talk a little bit about collaboration. You came to us via Andrews and Wilson. two mm-hmm. veteran, very successful novelists, writers,
yes.
Multiple bestsellers. And their philosophy, which I just love, is one of however they can helping to lift other veteran entrepreneurs up. Yeah. How did you first connect with them? And do you, I'm guessing the reason they brought you to me is because you also believe in that philosophy.
Yeah. To answer your first part of the question, how did I connect with them? There's obviously other veteran entrepreneurs, and I know Bone Frog Coffee is a team guy, and they make coffee and wine. And so I ended up reaching, somehow I got connected with this company, and the owners hit it off really well. And not just because we're both team guys, but we just hit it off. And they put me, they posted about me on a website or on their social media. And Andrew had reached out to me and basically said, hey, how can we help you? And it was literally like a cold call. How can I help you? Mm-hmm. And I love it. You know, they want to help other entrepreneurs and other veterans. And that's awesome. You know, when I left, I was telling you earlier, I left active duty, and it was the second time that I had fallen in love with America. And that was really hard for me to actually leave an organization and re-fall in love with America at the same time. It was really, really hard. It was like deciding that, like, I don't know, like you're breaking up with an old girlfriend, but you still really, really love her. You get what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, the veteran community has opened their arms to me, and numerous veterans have said, hey, you're getting out, it could be tough. Whatever you want from us, let us help you. You want us to introduce you to someone, you want to go have a beer, you need someone to hang out with, you need some marketing services, like let us help you. And I just found that to be so heartwarming, genuine, and it really represented, in my opinion, what the core values of what America is and the military. And so it's just amazing that they were able to do that for me. It's a good feeling.
Brian, if pride is a sin, I'm definitely going to hell. But I tell you, the Andrews and Wilson guys, you know, they smacked me around and said, look, we'll offer to help. You know, we like what you're doing, so let us help. So my response was, you know what? What if in one of your future novels, the character, they're on that long plane ride to some exotic locale to you know, take care of the bad guys, they put on their earbuds and they listen to the, you know, American Warrior Radio podcast, their favorite podcast. So I would suggest that maybe a character in one of their future books, you know, there should be a little paragraph about him or her strapping on him strapping on a Declan James watch, which, you know, was handed down from their father. I'm just saying.
Your intel is good. Your intel is good.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
I love it. Real quick, a little. Tell us about the SEAL Future Foundation. I know that they, one of the things that they do provide is mentorship and some other things to help folks like you. Good stuff. You're using them or participating with them, Brian?
I am using them. They are phenomenal, and I like them a lot because they are extremely accessible. And I'm not saying that the other organizations out there aren't good or aren't accessible, but they are extremely successful. And they at the time I used them and I'm using them now, they just made stuff happen instantly. And it was like, no questions asked. It's like, let us help you. And it just blows my mind because I've tried working with other organizations that help veterans and help SEALs, and they're just so, so big. It's almost like they become very bureaucratic in itself by nature of them being so big, and the response is slow, and then it just becomes who you know and how fast can they help you and what have you, you know. In my opinion, it was a bunch of BS. But SEAL Future, like, they're awesome. They helped me out. They've introduced me to numerous people. They have taken my health in consideration. They're trying to help me get healthy and help me just, you know, get my hormones and my body aches and everything back to normal so I can just function normally. They really do care. They're great.
One other quick business question, Brian. Yeah. Because I'm thinking about this because my background is on that civilian side of the coin. You're still in the reserves. What happens to the watch company if you get called up and have to go somewhere for 6 months. I mean, it's not, your boys are not old enough to quite take over just yet. What's the plan?
Well, funny you ask. I just got back from deployment.
Okay.
In April, and I recruited my father. So I moved everything over to my father and my mother's house, and he's boned up. He did everything for me while I was gone. And it worked out really well, because I think my dad and I, and probably my mom also, but I got it from them. We share some of the same like neuroses, right? Like everything's got to be perfect. It's got to be done right. And so him taking over while I was gone, it just worked out. And it was kind of cool, because it made it more of a family business. Like my dad worked for me. I didn't work for him for once.
Nice. We're running out of time. We've got about 30 seconds left, Brian. Any other advice you'd give to aspiring veteran entrepreneurs out there?
Just go do it. Go do it. Don't be afraid. It's an emotional roller coaster. If you need help, call me up. Reach out to me. You can get my phone number on my website. But just go do it. Have fun. You have the skill set to accomplish what it is you want to accomplish.
Outstanding. And keep your day job at least for a little while, just in case.
Yes, just in case.
There's passion and there's being a plum fool about it. So, Brian, thank you so much for joining us here on American Warrior Radio. Again, folks can learn more. Visit Declan James Watch Company. It's Declan James Watch Co.com. And we'll be looking for that tank watch coming down the line, Brian.
Awesome. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Yes, sir. Take care. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, you can find this podcast and over 250 others. Visit AmericanWarriorRadio.com. Please share. You can find us on your favorite podcast platform. We're on Stitcher. We're on Apple. We're on Google. We're on Deezer. We're on Pandora. We're on Spotify. I forget. We're everywhere. Please find us and share these important messages. If you support what we do and want to help us expand, visit patreon.com/AmericanWarriorRadio. patreon.com/AmericanWarriorRadio. Until next time, all policies and procedures are remain in place.
You've been listening to American Warrior Radio. You can hear over 150 episodes of this program at AmericanWarriorRadio.com.